chapter number 1. We'll actually get into the text tonight. Not much, but we will. Genesis chapter number 1, pretty easy to find in your Bible. All right. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible right here. And what we'll do tonight is we'll just go over day number 1. I planned on going through day 1 through 4, but that didn't help. And I got so much out of day number 1, so we'll just stick right there for tonight, okay? Max might be right. It might take us 7-8 years, but we'll see. All right, verse number 1, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And that's where we'll stop tonight. May God add His blessing to His Word. You know, ever since Moses wrote these first 5 verses, especially the first verse, there's been a battle for those words. The battle for the beginning of life and of this universe has been raging now for over thousands of years to see where, when, how, and why this whole universe was created, and even why we were created. But here, as we talk about the beginning and the battle that's still raging in 2019 for the battle for the beginning, I said earlier the other week, the only reliable source that we have for the beginning of everything is this Bible that I hold in my hands. See, the atheist tells us that nothing times nothing equals everything. He's reading my scripture back here. So atheists tell us that nothing times nothing equals everything. Darwin tells you that a small something times evolution equals everything. Well, I would ask Charles Darwin, where did that small something start from? Now, anyway, but how does Charles Darwin know? He wasn't there. It's just a guess. Your science books in high school and middle school will tell you that a rock collided with another rock and it just banged into everything that you see today. Well, how does the scientists know that either? They weren't there. But God tells us exactly how everything came into being. It was God times His Word made everything. You say, well, how does God know? Because He was the only one there. He's the only reliable source that we have. I want you to think about when a crime takes place. Say we're out in California. They're going to bring in 3 witnesses to the cops, to these investigators. The first 2 walk into the cops and say, well, I heard this is how it happened. And this is how I heard this crime happened. The 3rd guy walks in and says, I was standing right there the whole time. I was an eyewitness to the crime, and this is exactly how it happened. Who do you think they're going to listen to? The 3rd person who said, I'm an eyewitness. So why in the world would I listen to a scientist who wasn't there when the beginning started? Why in the world would I listen to Charles Darwin, who just guessed about everything that happened in the beginning, when I can listen to God, the only one who was there and who was an eyewitness to the whole thing? See, they'll try to bring you up in high school and middle school and even in Gaston College, just a little bit down the road, that tell you that evolution is real. And they'll try to tell you that there's evidence for evolution, but I hate to tell them there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence for the Big Bang Theory. There's no evidence for atheism. But can I tell you, there's evidence that God created the heavens and the earth. You say, well, what is it? When you walk outside tonight, look straight up. And when you get home tonight and find a mirror, look straight in it. Can I tell you, there's plenty of evidence that God created everything in this universe. See, this body that I have right here, there's no way that it could have just collided together and came together. My arms are in the perfect place. My eyes, my nose, my ears, my mouth, my legs, and everything are perfectly designed. If you go out into the night sky and look up at the stars, look at the moon that hangs on nothing, The sun that hangs on nothing is all designed absolutely perfectly. And it's intelligently designed. And if it's intelligently designed, that means it had an intelligent designer. And His name is God. You know, the Bible says that the invisible things of God are clearly seen. It's kind of a paradox there. The invisible things of God are seen. How can you see something that's invisible? He says that you can see God from the creation of the world. You can see two things about Him: His eternal power and Godhead, or His divinity. You can see looking up when He made the stars. You and I can't do that. That means He's more powerful than us. When you look up and you see the moon, you and I can't do that. That means He's different than a human being. That means He's some kind of God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And this is what basically science tells you. If I were to take this watch off and rip it all apart, take every single piece off of it, it'd be a better illustration if I had a regular watch. The numbers on it, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. If I were to take every single piece of this watch apart and put them in this box with no tissues, and shake it up just like this, and stop, and I poured them all out, do you think they'd be in the perfect place that a watch was supposed to be? They wouldn't, would they? But that's basically what science tries to tell you happened. Can I tell you? Every watch has a watchmaker that intelligently designed it. Every painting that you see in a museum has a painter. And when you go outside and look at this creation, it has a creator. And His name is God. And that's what we find starting here in Genesis number 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, I want you to look at it again. The first three words of your Bible say, "In the beginning." And right there started day number 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. Right there was when it began. And this marked the beginning of time, of space, and of matter. And all of it's right there for you. Time, space, and matter is right there in verse number 1. In the beginning, that's a time. The beginning of everything, that's time. God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven is space. Then you got earth, and that's matter. So God made time, matter, and space right here. You say, well, when did all this happen in the beginning? Dating biblically, if you go back through all the genealogies in Genesis and throughout all the Old Testament, and even through the New Testament, you'll go back to about 6,000 years ago was when Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1 began. Now, of course, some of the genealogies probably might have skipped a few generations. So more than likely, this earth is no more than 10,000 years old at the most. Your science books will tell you they're at least a million times billion years old. But according to our Bible, the Bible is at least 6,000 years old, but no more than 10,000. So we live on a young earth compared to what most people will tell you. So God created the heavens and the earth when? About 6,000 years ago, 4,000 B.C. to be exact. Well, why did He do it? Because He'd have been God even if He didn't create anything. Why did God create all this stuff in 6 days? The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. "For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." Isaiah 43 and 7 says, "For I have created him for My glory." That's what God said. "I've created you for My glory." Proverbs 16 and 4 says, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself." Every single thing that God made, including me and you, was made to glorify Him. The heaven and the earth was made to glorify Him. The plants, the trees, the animals were all made to glorify Him. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth right there in verse number 1. You've got the beginning of time, space, and matter, and I'll get to that a little bit more in a second. Right here in verse number 1 is the first time that we're introduced to our God. And this is a big first impression that He makes on us. Probably every single one of you remember the first time you met your husband or your wife. You probably remember the place you went on your first date. You might remember what you ate. You might remember the thoughts or the feelings that you had. I certainly remember the first time I met Monica. She walked into church a little bit late. And I was sitting on the front row and she came down there. She made a first impression on me that she's always late. But first impressions are everything, as you know. If you make a good first impression on somebody, they'll like you for a long time. Or a bad first impression, they won't like you for a long time. And this right here in verse number 1 is the first impression we get of God. And this is a memorable first impression He makes on us. See, if you were to have a Hebrew Bible tonight, in our Bible, all we see is the name God. But God has a lot of names in the Hebrew that mean different things. He's the same God, but He has different names for Him. And this name right here in the Hebrew is Elohim, as some of you probably know. Verse number 1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. All of God's names mean something different to describe the same God. But the name Elohim means strong one. The strong one. So our first impression that God wants us to have of Him is that He is a powerful God. He is an all-powerful God. He is a strong God. And some things that we can learn just about God in His first name, Elohim, there's three things that I want to point out to you that you can learn from His first name. Three things. His power, His preexistence, and then His plurality. So first of all, I want you to see His power. Look at verse 1. God created the heavens and the earth. Raise your hand if you've ever painted a picture. If you've ever used paint to paint a picture. I did. Mine was terrible. I'm bad at art. But what did you need to paint the picture? You needed a piece of paper, didn't you? You probably needed a brush. And you probably needed some paint and some water to make the picture the way you wanted it. Because you needed something to make something. Well, when God decided to make the heavens and the earth, I want you to know that He did not need anything. And He did not use anything to create the heaven and the earth. And theologians call this ex nihilo, which means God used nothing to create everything. I want you to think about the first person that ever made a TV. They needed something to make this TV to put it together. The first person that ever made a microwave. They needed something to put it all together. The person that built this church from the ground up needed something to build this church. But when God decided to create the heaven and the earth, He needed absolutely nothing to create all of it. And if that's not a powerful God, I don't know what is. He needed nothing. If I want to make something, I need something to make something. God needed absolutely nothing to make everything. That's what the Bible calls omnipotence. All power. That's how we're introduced to God here. He's a God of all power. Then not only does Elohim reveal His power, but it also reveals His preexistence. God created time and space, as I said in verse number 1. The beginning, God created heaven and the earth, which is time and space. In order to create time and space, you've got to exist before time and space, right? The person that created the microwave had to exist before the microwave ever existed. The person that built this church had to exist before this church ever existed. And the person that created time, space, and matter had to exist before time, space, and matter ever existed. And the only person that ever existed before all that is our God. So He's the only logical explanation to who created all of it. The Creator wasn't created. He always has been and He always will be. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't neither. But if we understood it, we'd be God. That's why we don't understand everything. But God was not created. He always has been. Before the foundation of the world, He was here. And I also want you to see not only His power, His preexistence, but this was interesting, His plurality. His plurality. As I said, if you were to have your Hebrew Bible, you would open up and you would see the word Elohim right there. And that's a noun. I learned a little bit in English. A noun is a person, place, or thing. Is that right? All right. And a noun can either be singular or plural. Singular is one. Plural is more than one. And this masculine noun right here for the word Elohim is not singular. It's a plural noun in the Hebrew. Isn't that interesting? I know that there's only one God. Thank you, Junior. I know that there's only one God. But right here, hidden in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 is the doctrine of the Trinity in God's name. Because it's a plural noun. Look at verse 2. Verse 1, you see God the Father. Verse 2 at the end of it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. It's So right there, you see the Spirit of God. Verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." And we know who that "us" and that "our" is, don't we? Because John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 says, "All things were created by Him," Jesus. So we know right here we've got God the Father. Verse 2, you've got God the Spirit. Then you go down to verse 26, you've got God the Son right there creating with the Trinity. So even if the only thing that we had was verse number 1 in our Bible, we could see it in there that God is one God in the form of three persons, because it's a plural God. Before the foundation of the world was ever there, we find the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 absolutely destroys every other beginning doctrine in this world. That's all you would need. God created the heaven and the earth. And I told you, remember last week, who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. All right. Moses makes this case clear in verse 1, that this God, whose name is Elohim, created everything that we see around us. And the reason he did this, I want you to listen, because in Moses' day, they had these myths. And they were called Near Eastern myths. And it taught this: gods, with the little g, who were born from something, then would fight another god, with a little g, in order to see who would destroy the other god, and then that god who won could create his own universe. And that's the myth that were going around during Moses' day, that these gods would fight, and whoever fought and won would create the universe out of something that already existed. That was what was going around in Moses' day. And Moses makes it very clear in verse number 1, that's not true at all. He says, God comes along the scene. By the way, was not born from something. By the way, didn't need anything to create everything. That's who created the heaven and the earth. And Moses just wipes them out right there too, in verse number 1. So Moses said it was this God that created everything. And we know in the Hebrew that Elohim is His name. Let's go on to verse number 2. I don't have really an outline tonight. We're just going to go straight through these verses, all right? So verse 1, we've got the beginning of time, space, and matter. Verse 2 is a very confusing verse to probably all of us. And we've always probably wondered about it, and hopefully we can clear it up a little tonight. The Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Kind of confusing if you read that. But what it's saying here is when God spoke time, matter, and space into existence, He spoke the earth into existence. This is what it was like. The earth was without form. Let's look at that first. So when God spoke it into existence, it was the earth that was without form. It was unformed. And all that means is when you look at the earth, I've got a globe in my office at home. But when God spoke this world and this earth into existence, it didn't look like a globe. It was more, the best illustration that I can use is it was a lump of clay in the potter's loving hands. That's basically all it was. You know, when a potter gets his clay and he starts to spin it on the wheel, it's absolutely nothing. It's not a beautiful creation. It's just there. And that's kind of what this is describing here in verse number 2 for us. That this earth was not created as a globe as we see it today. It was just there. It's kind of as clay in the hands of the potter. So it's unformed as we see it here starting out in day number 1. But then the Bible says not only was it without form, I told you this is a little bit confusing, but it's void. And all that means is it was empty. It was unpopulated. There was nothing on it. And all it describes is it was a bunch of nothingness. It's the best way I can describe it. It was nothing. Unpopulated, there was nothing on it. And also, the Bible says not only it was without form, it was void, but the Bible says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, God did not create this darkness. Darkness was always there. It was all from eternity past, this darkness had been there. All darkness is the absence of light. And that's what we find here. So the earth is without form, it's void, and it's dark, with no created light on it. But then it says darkness was upon the face of the deep. And when you see deep right there, all it means is waters. Basically like an ocean of waters when you talk about the deep oceans out there in the Atlantic. So it was upon the waters right here, upon the face of the deep. Darkness absolutely covered it. And that's interesting. I want you to remember that for next week about how the earth was literally right here covered with water. Okay? So it's dark, it's formless, it's void, there's nothing there, but it's also covered with water. And that'll be a very interesting topic once we get to day two. So remember that. And even 2 Peter tells us that exact same thing. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, listen to what it says. For this they willingly are ignorant of. So in other words, these people have no idea what they're talking about when they talk about the heavens and the earth. He says, by the word of God, the heavens were of old. So in other words, God created the heavens. And the earth, He created those. Listen to what it says about it. Standing out of the water and in the water. So when God created, it was standing in the water, like we see it here in verse number 2. So the earth starting out, just remember these words, it was formless, like a lump of clay in the potter's hands. It was void, a bunch of nothing. It was dark, and it was immersed with water. Now let me try to explain this with a quote that I heard from it the other day when I was studying. This man, he says, the material was there because God spoke it into existence. There was time, as we said. There was space, and there was matter. But it was unformed and unpopulated. The original created elements mentioned in verse 1, time, space, and matter, God created them. God spoke them into existence. But yet they were unorganized and uninhabited. God had not yet shaped them, and God had not yet populated the world. And that's all you see there in verse number 2. That's the best way to explain it. But then at the end of verse 2, look what it says. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That word for moved right there is hovering. The Spirit of God began to take these waters and hover over it. And then as soon as that happened, verse 3 comes along. And the Bible says God's first words. And God said, let there be light. So when the Spirit of God began to move on this empty place that was dark and covered with waters, God began to talk, and the Spirit of God began to shape it into what we see today. And God said, let there be light. And then look what happened. There was light. The light didn't look at God and say, get on out of here, like we do so often. When God says a command, everything in this universe obeys. So we ought to as well. But the Bible says, Psalm 33, God spake, and it was done. When God says something, He don't have to wait for it to finish. God says something, and it's done, just like that. Let there be light, and there was light. So we've got an earth that's without form, this void, this dark, it's covered with water, and then all of a sudden God's Spirit begins to move on it. And when God's Spirit begins to move on it, He begins to form it, and God says, let there be light, and light shines out of darkness, just like that. I want you to think about this. When I was a sinner, I was lifeless. The Bible says I was dead. There was no life in me. There was no light in me. But one day, when I was sitting on that CLC bus, the Spirit of God started to move. And He took the Word of God and put it into my heart. And I called upon the name of Jesus. And when there was no life, right then there became life. When there was no light, right then there was light. Because the Spirit of God took the Word of God and put life into me. Paul said, he said this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness have shined in our hearts. So the same way God started out this creation right here in verses 1 through 3 is the same way He started out the new creation, you and I, as the church. The Bible says we're new creations in Jesus Christ. We were dark, we were without life, but the Spirit of God moved, brought the Word of God, made us wise unto salvation, and now we're light in the Lord. And I love that about that. So the same thing that happened day one of creation is the same thing that happened day one of the new creation in your and my life. But here's a question that theologians have debated over for thousands of years. And you probably already know the question I'm about to ask. What was the source of light? Day four, I find in verse 16 of Genesis 1. Listen. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. It wasn't until 3 days later that God created the sun and the moon. By the way, the moon has no light anyway. But it wasn't until day four that God created the sun to shine. So God didn't create the sun on day one. That wasn't the light that He was talking about. So what might have been the light in day number one? And this is exactly where debaters of the Bible step in and say, your Bible's wrong. Because there's no way there could be a light on day one if the sun were created on day four. But this they are willingly ignorant of. That in the New Jerusalem, in Revelation 21, you know what it says? It has no need for the sun nor the moon. Why is that? Because God is the light. The glory of God did lighten that place. And why in the world couldn't God's glory light this earth for 3 days if He wanted it to? The Bible says God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So why in the world for 3 days couldn't God said, my light's going to shine on this world for 3 days, and then I'll create the sun? Because the New Jerusalem has no need for the sun nor the moon. And I believe the same way that if you read through the book of Exodus and even 1 Kings, you'll see the Shekinah glory of God shining on the temple and the tabernacle is the same way this glory started to shine here on the first and second and third day. So, now it might have been something new to some of you. You might have never heard that. That's just something to throw in there. That was free. But, so look at verse 3. The Bible says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And look at verse 4. God saw the light that it was good. In other words, God looked at what He made. I love this. God looked at what He made and said, that's good. And I don't think that's arrogance or pride. That's Him saying, that's perfect. And that's good. And we see right here also in Genesis chapter number 1, who establishes what's good and what's bad. And that's God. Because God said, what I make is good. Because it was perfect. So we've got God said, let there be light. Then verse 4, God saw the light that it was good. And also God divided. God said, God saw, and then God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to notice that God did not wipe out the darkness and say there's going to be no more darkness, there's just going to be all light. But He said, I'll let the light and the darkness coexist together. He didn't wipe out the dark when He could have, like He's going to do in the New Jerusalem. There's going to be no dark, no night. He said they can coexist together. And this is the first of three divisions that God makes in Genesis 1. He divides the light from the darkness here. Then in verse 7, He divides the waters from the waters. We'll get to that next week. Then in verse 9, He divides the land from the waters that are on the earth. So God is a God of division. God divides things. God separates things. And dark and light are separated physically. For the next 12 hours when you walk outside, it's going to be dark. And then for those next 12 hours, it's going to be light. Because that's the way God made it. And not only is that a physical significance, but it's also a spiritual significance. Because God never intended for the dark and the light to coexist. Or God never intended for the dark and the light to be together. He always meant for them to be divided and to be separate. Paul said, what communion hath light with darkness? In other words, if you're a Christian, you're light. Stay out of the darkness. Stay out of walking the way that other people walk. Then he said in 1 Thessalonians, we studied it a few weeks back, you are children of light. You're not of the night. Therefore walk as children of the light. So in other words, be separate from the rest of this world. So that when others see you, they'll see the light shining forth from you. Because God, when we got saved, has put a light in us to shine out on this world. I'm actually almost done. I wish I would have went through day two now. But anyway, God divided. And that's exactly what He wants us to do today as Christians. Is be separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So light and darkness weren't meant to blend in, but although they coexist, they weren't meant to blend in together. So we're to be separate. So not only did God said, God saw, God divided, but then I want you to look at verse 5. God now called. God called the light day and the darkness He called night. And I want you to think about those of you in here that have had children. I want you to think about naming your or having your children. And I don't know if anybody's done this. I'm sorry if you did. If you looked at the nurse and said, "I don't feel like naming it," you name it. Anybody done that? All right, good. But why does the mother and the father name the child? Because they made it. They created it, and they've got authority to do so. And that's exactly why God can name His creation whatever He wants to name it, day and night, because He created it. But you'll see, and this is interesting, in chapter number 2, God brings some of the animals to Adam, some of the birds to Adam, and He says, "Although I created them, I'm going to let you name some of them." So God gives the man authority over certain things on this earth, especially before the fall happened. We'll get to that as we get there. But God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I certainly don't have time to get into the first day of what day means, because apparently people don't understand the meaning of the word day. Because you can go up to Gaston College and they'll tell you that God did not mean what He said when He said day. He meant 1,000, 1,000,000, or 1,000,000,000 years. So day one actually was not one day. It was more like 1,000,000 years that God made the light. And there's something going around called the day-age theory. And these are these scientists trying to plug billions of years into your Bible. And what they have to do is plug them in here to these 6 days and say the word day does not mean what God intended for it to mean. Well, they don't look at Joshua when they said he walked around Jericho's wall for 7 days, and they don't look at that and say, "Now you think God meant day, or do you think He meant millions of years? You think Joshua walked around the wall of Jericho for millions of years? Joshua wouldn't have made it." This is the only time in the Bible that people contemplate what the word day means. Because every other time, I believe it's 2,300 times in your Old Testament, the Hebrew word yom is mentioned for day. And every single time, it means a 24-hour day. But the scientists say Genesis 1 is the only time that it means millions of years. Billions of years that this earth has been here. And we'll get to why they say that later. Not tonight, but later. But God says the evening and the morning were the first day, and that's exactly what He meant. Well, you say, well, going back to the sun wasn't created yet, we say, well, how could the evening and the morning, or how could there be an evening and a morning prior to the creation of the sun? So basically, what established the evening and the morning? We know it's morning because the sun shines right through our window. We know it's the night because we can't see the sun. But the sun doesn't determine the cycle of time. We didn't know that. The earth's rotation does. That's what determines time. And right here, in verse number 5, and on day 1, the earth begins to rotate just like we see it doing today. In the same exact way that we see it going around, at the same exact rotation, the same exact speed, and it's been going that exact same speed for over 6,000 years. And I don't know how in the world something could just bang together and say, now this is going to go this exact same speed for all this time for 6,000 years. Although, in the book of Joshua, I believe, this stopped for just a short time. So God could let His people fight a little bit more and win the battle. We won't get to that. But starting here on day 1, remember in verse 2, the earth was formless, had no form. It wasn't the globe like we see it today. But when the Spirit of God began to move, that's when He began to shape it, to bring it to the way that we see it today. And on these first 5 verses, the earth took a whole rotation around, and it went through a 24-hour day period. And that's why the Bible says there was one day. And we'll get to that later because I've still got the book to read of about 6 literal days. But once I finish that, hopefully in the next few days, we'll get to the day-age theory. But that's all that we'll go through tonight is day 1. But I want you to think. This right here, probably tomorrow, somewhere in America, somebody is standing up in some kind of big conference and either talking about how God did create the heavens and the earth, or talking about how there's no way God created the heaven and the earth. Even the Christian college that I went to, there was a professor that didn't think God created everything in 6 days. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Especially in the high schools and middle schools and the books that they're handing out now. But it's so important for you and me to understand exactly what this is saying, especially once we begin to have kids and you have grandkids, you've got kids, because they're going to school with this stuff. And if they can take them, as I said, if they can take them out of Genesis 1, they don't have to listen to Matthew 27 either, where Jesus died on the cross. They don't have to listen to John 3 either, because they say, well, you know, Genesis 1 really doesn't mean what it says. So neither does John 3, where it says you have to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. See how quickly that gets switched? They take out this first day, you can take out Romans 8. You can take out 1 Thessalonians 4. You can take out the rest of the Bible. And that's why it's so important. But the creation of the heaven and the earth in 6 days is so important. But you know what I look forward to? When God does it again. When God does it again. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And he saw a new city called New Jerusalem, to where you and I, as children of God, get to dwell with Him forever. By the way, the book of 2 Peter says this, and I'll be done. See, the reason there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth is because God's going to wipe this one out. The same way He did with a flood, the Bible says the same way He's going to do it with fire. And the Bible says this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens that God created shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also that you and I are standing on, the works that are therein shall be burned up." Peter says, don't spend too much time investing your time here on this earth, because it's all going to be burned up one day anyway. And then he says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conduct and godliness?" He says, we look for the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We, according to His promises, look for a new heaven and a new earth. Don't invest too much time building big buildings, building big barns, as this man in the Gospel of Luke did, and didn't know that he was going to die that night. Because all of it, no matter if I go by death or by rapture, everything here is going to be burned up one day. My man cave that I just made, that I'm so proud of, is full of Yankee stuff, is going to be burned up one day. And I don't like it. But I'm going to like the new heavens and the new earth, because it's a place where there's no curse, no sorrow, or no sin. And I look forward to when God does exactly what He did right here in Genesis 1 one more time. And you and I get to dwell in that place called New Jerusalem. Amen. Amen.
Well, you would worship you forever, Lord. God, I pray for you. Pray your help.